Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatare Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdhaya Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhavenam Namaha Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdhaya Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhavenam Namaha Madhu Yojwala Premandhya Shri Rupa Noga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtiye Dinatarne Rupa Noga Virudha Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasavi, Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Speaking on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'll first speak a little bit about Hanuman. Hanuman is called Hanuman because he has his chin is quite prominent from having been injured. The reason is that when he was born, his mother, she wanted to get back to the heavenly planet. She'd been cursed to come as a monkey to the earth. She was an apsara, so she had to give birth to a child. And then she could go back. So the little child asked then, well, what shall I eat? And he said, well, you can just grab some fruit. He didn't want fruit. You know, something like that, something round like that. She pointed to the rising sun. So she went off and immediately Hanuman jumped out to catch the rising sun. And could have done so also, but Indra, to stop the devastation that he was about to cause, threw his thunderbolt, which struck him on the chin. And, it's a long story, but the sage Trunabindu then cursed Hanuman. He said that you don't know about your power till someone reminds you. Till it's required, because someone so powerful can do it, being in a monkey body can cause so much damage. So, in comparison with Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, it was something like that. Of course, Hanuman, when Ram first met him, was a very respected minister in the government of Sugriva. But he was considered, he's a respected figure, no doubt, but it wasn't known how great he was. So similarly, our own Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't, he wasn't known how great he was. He was in the Gaudiya Math, he was appreciated among the devotees. All the leading devotees knew him. He was appreciated as a good, serious grihastha devotee. Some in particular appreciated him. Sridhar Maharaj had a very close relationship with him. He was known as a good, solid follower, good preacher in English. He could give lectures in the mat. He could sing bhajans very expertly and play mridanga. He was good in organizing in Bombay, but it wasn't known how great he was until he actually went to the West, and even then it took some time to struggle. But the power to manifest Krishna consciousness that didn't manifest in him fully until the time was just right. When he went to the West, and even then, he struggled for some time. And then the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested in him, and Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Bhavi Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from the very beginning, he was a very powerful figure. Even as a child, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed for a ray of Vishnu to be manifested in this world, because he wanted to preach Krishna consciousness, and he did so, but he felt that the obstacles against doing so were so powerful, he felt restricted in his ability to do so. But you know, Thakur and several children, the fourth son, was he named him Bimala Prasad. He was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living in Puri at that time. He had named, that was his practice, to name his sons after various manifestations of Shakti, Durga. The first was Anada Prasad. Then another who became famous was Lalita Prasad. So there are different names of the Shaktis, Durga, manifestation of Durga. The manifestation of Durga, or Kali in Puri, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was living, was Bimala. So he named him Bimala Prasad at the age of 6 months. The Jagannath Rath Yatra came and stopped for 3 days outside the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, later Madhav Maharaj, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, reclaimed that property and made a nice temple, Gauriamat, Sri Chaitanya Gauriamat branch in Puri. So Jagannath stopped for 3 days there, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur organized a kirtan festival, and during that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, his second wife, Bhagavati Devi, first died young. She brought the child, Bimala Prasad, and took the opportunity to place him at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath on his rath. At this time, immediately, the garland fell down and encircled the baby's form. So at this point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that the ray of Vishnu, who he had prayed for, had appeared, and he kept that child with him closely. And from the beginning, he was of prodigious intelligence, this boy, and not interested in this world from the very beginning. He was clearly of a different world. He was sent to school to study. He didn't study. He would keep the books, Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. He would keep these books. He would hide them inside his school books and read these instead. Later he went to college, to the Sanskrit college, and he studied Sanskrit, and he dropped out. He said, I learned enough Sanskrit. I don't need to become a big pandit. I just learned what I need, that's all. So in his youth, he was brilliant in astronomy. Sometimes it said astrology. The two go together, in it's the same word, jyotish, in Vedic culture. But he dropped out also. And from the very beginning, he was very staunch practitioner of Krishna consciousness. It wasn't until after Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world, very staunch practitioner and preacher, and he stood against everything bogus. Rupanoga viruddha pasiddhanta dvantarane. He opposed everything that was opposed to the proper conclusions of Rupa Goswami. In Puri, he was living in Puri at one point, and he was he would harass the followers of this Ramdas Babaji, who was prominent there, the Radharaman Charandas Babaji and Ramdas Babaji, his Nitaigar, Radhesham people. They'd become quite prominent, and he would harass them and walk up to people and tell them this is all bogus. And it was creating quite a stir. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent him to Mayapur to look after the affairs of the Jogpit, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had established a temple there, but the affairs were in disorder. There's no one to oversee it properly. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati went there and lived in that remote spot. It was really just the jungle. He was a Calcutta boy, raised in Calcutta. And then he was out there surrounded by Muslims. Now if you go to Mayapur, there's all facilities to go there, but there are no facilities to go there. The general way to go was by local train. That train line was built by the British to Dubulia, a few kilometers away, and then walk. And there weren't even any proper roads to walk. Anyway, that was very common in India in those days. I saw in Bangladesh myself, even in the late 1970s and early 1980s, many places you just go by walking. There's no road. You just walk, that's all. Road means there's some footpath that just people by walking they made a path, that's all. A rough path. So it's a very remote spot, but he stayed there on the order of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And he had some idea. He wanted to preach, but there was one. The order was there, you stay there and oversee these activities. So he's absorbed in study and chant. So what's he going to do there? What's he going to do? So, okay, I'll chant a billion names, holy names. So for years and years he was just simply chanting all day and night. And after all, to manage the affairs of the Jogpit, isn't it? They're just trying to keep the whoever the pujari was there, trying to keep him satisfied. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur made the system that the pujari should be a Brahmin caste. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur couldn't do it himself. It was the dattas, they were kayastas, which is shudras by caste. Actually, although kayastas, they're not considered. They're also considered high class because they're very intelligent and they're generally in government service. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spent his life in government service, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also found out for Anada Prasad got a government service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in the British government service, and then Anada Prasad, the first son, and he got employment in the service of the king of Tripura, government service. Bimala Prasad also got recommendation, government service. Then when Bimala Prasad, being so righteous that he uncovered corruption in the offices, then he became very unpopular there. The Tripura kings are traditionally, since the time of Narottam Das, they're all Vaishnavas. So he was very pleased with Bimala Prasad, who spent much of his time reading all the books. He was self-educated to a large extent. He would just go in libraries and just read so many books. So he spent a lot of time reading the books in the library of the King of Tripura, Maharaj of Tipera, as the British called it. So after uncovering this corruption, Bimala Prasad, he just left this service. I said, I don't get involved in all this kind of thing. But the Maharaj was so pleased with him, he gave him a lifelong pension because he'd saved him so much money by uncovering all the corruption. So anyway, shortly after, after Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away, just before that, Gaur Kishore also passed away. And then he wasn't going out much, but he was called once to the Koshim Bazaar Sammelani, a gathering of Vaishnavas called by the Maharaj of Koshim Bazaar. And he was already known. Oh, there's so much history. You have to read that book, but this Vaibhav. He was already known as being a terrible opponent of all of everything bogus. From Siddhant Saraswati was already known as being an enemy of everything that was bogus from his speech at the Sammelani in Midnapur district to decide on the relative status of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So when he went to Koshim Bazaar, all the gurus, they were afraid of him. And apart from that, sometimes he would go to Navadvip to give lectures, and his lectures were different from everyone else's. So they didn't want him to speak at all there at Koshim Bazaar. So after fasting 3 days, he came back without eating anything. He said, it's not prasad. It's offered by someone who's not a proper devotee, so it's not prasad. Even though the Maharaj sent him so many nice foods. So he came back to Mayapur, and then again he cooked something and ate something. But he was discouraged. He thought, my guru, Gaurakishore, he gave me the order to preach, to establish the truth. But who's going to listen to the truth? As soon as he starts to speak, they all shouted him down. He was given 5 minutes only to speak, and he was given the topic to speak on the Navadvipashtar Matri Mandir, to speak on the Purama Mandir in Navadvip. There's a Durga temple in Navadvip, Purama. That was the subject he was given to speak on, 5 minutes. They didn't want to hear what he had to say at all. So even when he started to speak, after about 2 minutes, they shouted him down. So he was discouraged. And so he had been working on a commentary on Sri Upadeshamrita. He had a few followers. People had come to visit him, young men. Paramananda was there. He was a young boy who had left home. He'd seen Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a young boy. He came to Navadvip, and somehow he ended up in Mayampur, and he was the first person who lived with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a disciple. And there are others. Rohir Kumar Ghosh was supposed to be the first disciple, and another who came regularly very much instrumental in establishing the Gauriya Math was Kunja Bihari. But Paramananda, so there are a few people just living with Rohini Kumar Ghosh was living with him for some time, Vaishnava Das. And then they noted, although he'd been making this commentary on Upadeshamrita, he stopped that, he became, looked as if he was discouraged, went on with activities, but he didn't seem to have the same spirit. Then after some days, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur found a piece of the Chaitanya Charitamrita blowing in the wind. And that's very unusual in such a remote place. They weren't printing books there. Little scrap. What exactly was it? Kabuna Badibe Tomai Bishai Taranga. Punarapi A Thai Pavimari. Was it that part? No, I think it was some part of Sanatan Shiksha. Anyway, the point in there was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you don't worry. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Sanatana Goswami. He saw that, and in a dream at night, all the previous acharyas, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all up to the Panchatattva, they all came and told him, you don't worry, you just preach, we're with you. So then after that, his mood again was buoyant, and shortly after that, Akunja Bihari brought him to Calcutta. He'd established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I made some bits and pieces coming. He brought him to Calcutta. No, what's going on? No. Then he established the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took sannyas, he established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Gaur Purnima in 1918. Then shortly after that, he came to Calcutta and established the Gauriya Mart, which at that time was in a rented house. And then he started preaching. But what a powerful person of that. The power of Lord Chaitanya, Karuna Shakti. The mercy power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very prominently in him, extremely powerful personality, who clearly stood apart from this world. Very different in many ways. Our own Prabhupada was very different in many ways. I often give the example of the understanding of my realization, whatever. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was clearly, as Prabhupada said, a Vaikuntha man. He stood apart from this world. He was in this world, but very clearly not of it. Whereas our own Srila Prabhupada, although it's true to say that of him also, but whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his stance was more or less like, look, come up, come up, come up here, don't stay down there. Tamasi Ma, Jyotir Gamaya, come out of the darkness, come to the light. As he himself gave the example when commenting on the two philosophical understandings that divide the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. The one is the Marjara Nyaya, and the other is the, what is that, monkey? No, I just can't remember now. The Markata Nyaya. The Markata. One has the idea that the Marjara Nyaya, that you don't have to do anything. God looks after you. Just like the kitten is looked after by the cat. It's His grace, that's all. You don't have to do anything. And the other is the Markata Nyaya. That no, it's God looks after you, but it's like the baby monkey holds on to the mother. He also makes his effort. So commenting on this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a different example altogether. That it's like this. It's like someone's in a well, you throw them a rope, they also have to catch it. So his position is like that. He's standing at the top of the well. We're fallen in the well. He's thrown down the rope. Catch it and come up. Whereas Prabhupada, his position was, how he presented himself in many ways like an ordinary person. Rather than catch the rope and I'll pull you up, it was more like, come with me, taking the hand. Come with me. Krishna consciousness is easy. It's nice. You can do it. Let's do it together. That was more like his stance. So I'll just speak a few words here as I'm also praying for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas to write, praying for their mercy, their power. Come here to write on their order. Jogata bichare kichu nahi pai tomara karanasha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us this song which we can offer back to him, that I have no personal ability, but if you empower me, I can act on your behalf. Hare Krishna.